Jeez, Lord.
Do you need some lotion?
Are you Aren't you guys itchy?
Not even
dry.
I was itchy when I had a rash head to toe, but then I went to Idaho and fixed all my problems.
Doesn't
then...
your scar ever itch?
No.
Well, it will.
Wouldn't it already?
Because my ankle scar itches.
It's been 2 years.
It's going to be when you hit 40. That's when,
when the scars itch is when you hit 40.
Yeah, then you only have 50% of the collagen and water in your body, and everything starts itching.
Oh, is that a true story? Are you making
something
the
show to look forward to?
I don't know. Maybe it could be true. I don't know.
I could not be lying.
I feel like the older you get, but it might be if you hit menopause. So maybe if you hit menopause in your 30s or in your 50s, you're just going to get dry. It's going to dry you out.
Everywhere.
Because hormone changes. Yeah. Maybe because of hormone changes. I don't know. I don't know the menopause life yet. I'm just trying to say it could happen. So watch out for that.
Okay.
All right. Welcome to Pacific Northwest Weirdness. This is Jen.
I'm Vanessa.
And I'm Alicia.
Lord have mercy.
Thanks for joining us in our...
Apparently we're just doing a little reproductive class today.
Just a little PSA for all y'all. Or it could be that spring is upon us and we have allergies. It could be either one. I mean... Who's to say?
I have been taking daily allergy medicine since February.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe that's why I'm not itchy.
I take allergy medicine every day.
Okay, well, I have no answers then. I have nothing.
Yeah. An alligator, like my skin's creepy looking. All right.
They make lotion for that.
Yeah.
Creepy skin.
Well, I creepy have skin. Right
you said that word and it made me think of the lotion.
Yeah, okay. I'll get creepy skin lotion.
Creepy lotion.
Those of you listening, if you'd like to send me a bottle of creepy skin lotion.
If you'd like to send recommendations on the creepy skin lotion, let us know.
All right. So this week was my, or is my week to...
It was. It's already over.
Bring you a...
Just kidding.
Sorry. That's what I'm going to do. Alicia had a little bit of a request, so I'm going along.
I didn't know we
lines.
Got to just make requests.
Well, yeah. I want to know if your shirt has anything to do with the story you're doing. Because you're wearing a cryptid shirt.
I am wearing a cryptid. Bigfoot. I'm wearing good old Bigfoot, but no.
It says believe in it yourself does not even have when to... no one else does.
Yeah, it's great. And it's all like 80s looking.
Yeah.
But no, not Bigfoot.
Okay. All right.
All right. So I remember camping at Wallowa Lake when I was young. My mom has always felt a kinship of sorts with the Native Americans, and her mama would call her her little Indian girl. I grew up with Native American photos, dream catchers, paintings, sculptures, blankets, etc. She has an authentic like squash blossom necklace that was given to her by a Native American friend. She has earrings and a bracelet she bought from a Native American man she saw selling his jewelry one time while driving through the Warm Springs land. She even has a Native American animal hide drum and stick sitting on her bed that was made for her by the Siletz tribe. And she plays that almost every day.
Wait a second. It's on her bed?
Uh-huh.
Like?
It's just laying on her bed, a hand drum. It's like...
All the time?
Yeah. Well, not when they're asleep.
For funsies? Oh, okay.
It's just like during the day.
It's decor.
Yeah, she has all of her, like, you know, Pendleton blankets and everything. So, yeah, I don't know. That's just where it lives.
It's just, it's bed decor.
It's decor.
Yeah.
It's like a throw pillow, but it's a drum.
It's usable decor.
Usable. Okay, usable decor. Sounds good.
We got it.
And then she was also telling me that 1 year, her and my dad went, they were driving by up in Joseph, and at the high school, they saw that there was a dance competition, and so they were just driving around, and they went up there, and it was Native American, like a Native American dance competition, so they were in their full,
that's cool,
you know, everything, and they
did
like,
they went, know that before they stopped?
No, and so then they went back to camp. Well, there was a sign.
I don't know that I'd be like...
There was a sign.
That said, like, Native American dance competition on the sign? Okay, it didn't just say dance competition.
Uh-uh.
Okay, I was like, why would... Okay. I mean, I guess if you really love dancing, you'd be like, yes. Is it square dancing? I'm in. But
no, I think it's a Native American dance.
Okay, gotcha.
Competition.
Okay.
So then they like went back to camp and got their chairs and got a cooler and went up there and just hung out and watched it. And she got to dance with them. And she said, I'm like, wow, it's like a movie. She said that as they were dancing, there were, I can't remember how many she said, but bald eagles like circling right above.
That's cool.
I know. I was like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. I feel like this has a large part in my like own feelings about the Native Americans and just the sadness surrounding their demise. Because mom thinks that maybe she in a past life was Native American. So if you believe that sort of thing, which I do, then who knows? Like many of my stories, we're going to start out with the Native American legend surrounding Wallowa Lake and the cryptid said to lurk in its waters. Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
You might get to this, but I like to picture it. Where is this lake?
Wallowa Lake. It mm-hmm. is in Joseph. Are you looking it up?
Mm-mm. Do you want me to?
Yeah, I can't think of where exactly it is.
For us that are not.
I think it's central.
First in the.
Ish Oregon?
Okay. It's in Oregon. Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure because I'm like, we have a lot of Native American sounding names here, but so does Washington.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm like, where are we? And Vancouver. So.
Yeah.
Canada. Those to the north.
It's Le Grand.
Oh, yeah. Eastern Oregon.
Oh,
I'm wrong.
Okay.
Area. All right.
All right. I should have known Eastern Oregon.
Oregon.
Oregon. Blah, 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 blah.
It's, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Got you.
That's thank all you. I got for you.
So the Nez Perce tribe lived in the area surrounding the lake for many generations. They loved all of the beautiful rivers and named one that they especially admired, Wallowa, which means winding water. But then the white man, and this was just like rivers and stuff, not the lake, I don't think at that point. But then when the Europeans came over, they didn't realize that the meaning was winding water. And so they named the lake Wallowa. They named, you know, the town. They named everything.
Everything.
That. Yeah. And they were like,
they're like, yeah, that sounds great. Let's do it.
All right. So the next
love to see it.
part is a story that is, well, as of 1934, was still passed around passed around the campfire from Native Americans telling the story. And so Reverend E.A. Pollock, which I'm like, Reverend, are you telling us the truth? But it sounds like he really is. Wrote about it in the Wallowa Sun after listening to it being told by a Nez Perce tribe member. So I'm telling.
So I feel like he knows. He's in the know.
Yeah, he was saying, you know, like when he first like moved there or whatever, like he still remembered seeing teepees like up along the shoreline and shoreline. There's no ocean there.
Lake line.
Yes, thank all you. Right,
you're welcome.
All right, so this is the story told by.
Don't they call like edges shores? No,
maybe.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Long, long ago, so long that we cannot count the moons, the tribe of the Nez Perce was very strong and had many noble and brave warriors. Every summer, our people went far over the mountains out into the buffalo country to hunt. We feared no one, and no one dared to cross our trail. But one summer, a great band of Blackfeet warriors suddenly appeared, and a big battle was fought. Only Red Wolf, who was our chief, with a handful of his braves, escaped and returned to the Wallowa. There was much sorrow in our village when he told us what had happened, and our hearts were very heavy. Our camp, however, was a very busy place, for all winter long we worked making great heaps of bows and arrows. When the grass came again, Red Wolf gathered all his warriors together and went to avenge our great loss. The country of the Blackfeet was too far away for us to go there, but we knew that we But we knew that they would be coming to the buffalo country again. So there we hid and waited for them. Before many days, a large band of them came, and although they fought fiercely, we overcame them and killed all of them. Red Wolf returned, but this time shouting with joy. He brought with him so many scalps that they made a great heap, and he had nearly 2,000 horses which he had captured. The Great Spirit protected the braves in that fight, and none of them were killed. There was great rejoicing now, and our people danced for many days. We were a great people then. For many years, Red Wolf always led his braves to the buffalo country when the hunting season arrived. Many times when they came back, they would have their belts full with scalps taken from our old enemy. But Red Wolf grew old and finally died. And then his son, young Red Wolf, led the warriors. They got real creative
names. Did you just say scalps?
Scalps, yes.
Okay. In my head translated that to scallops.
Oh.
Very, scalps. Very different things.
Scalps, not okay. Scallops.
I'm on track now. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. I got to figure out where I was now.
I was like, scallops from where?
Okay.
The lake? I'm on track now. So sorry.
Okay. Young Red Wolf led the warriors. We continued to go to the buffalo country as before, and we were still a great and mighty people. But one summer, when Red Wolf with a band of his braves were hunting buffalo, the Blackfeet stole upon them in the dark and killed a large number of them. What few escaped massacre fled, hoping to reach home, but the Blackfeet followed, and every day they fought fiercely. Finally, one day, as it was growing dark, they reached the lake. Our braves knew the place so well that they slipped through the brush in the darkness and reached home. The Blackfeet did not attempt to follow that night, but stopped on the other shore, where they built great fires and did much dancing. But our village was not lighted with fires that night, because our women were mourning for their braves. Now Red Wolf had an only child, a beautiful daughter, who had grown to young womanhood. Waluna was her name, and everybody loved her, and she greatly loved her father and all his people. She realized that her people could fight no more, because the braves were all gone, and all her people realized it too. She knew that when Blackfeet came around the lake in the morning and attacked them, they would all be killed. So she quietly slipped away among the trees, and going to the lake, secured a canoe and paddled across the camp of the enemy. To the camp of the enemy. Silently she rowed, not the least sound coming from her paddle as it sipped in and out of the water. So silently did she land and approach the camp that no one saw her until she stood by the fire in the midst of them. It's like, that's a brave girl. I don't think I'd be rowing up on the people that have killed my whole village.
No.
Then addressing them, she said, I am Waluna, the child of Red Wolf. It is to speak to the great chief of your people that I come. The Blackfeet chief replied, what is it that the daughter of Red Wolf would say? My ears are open for your words. Waluna, standing there bewitchingly beautiful in the firelight, then said, our warriors have been fighting with your warriors for many days. They have now returned to us, but there are few of them. Our village is filled with women and children wailing for their dead. It is dark there, for we have no fires, for we are afraid of the great chief of the Blackfeet. Red Wolf says that when the sun again comes over the mountaintops, your braves will visit our village, and we will all die because we cannot fight. Come to our camp, great chief, if you will. But know this, you will find nothing but old men and women and children there. The older ones you can kill, and the younger ones you can carry back with you as slaves. But I must tell you that women and girls will not be able to. When you return to your village, you'll hear the shouting of your warriors, because we will wail loud for our braves, and our women will wail with us. Do you think there will be joy in your village then? Many, many scalps you have, which were taken from our young warriors. Do you want the scalps of old men and women, too? She's giving it to them.
No.
I want none of the
above. I do not want any scalps. Thank you.
No, you do not want them. But, oh great chief, we want our fires to burn. Leave us and go back to your own country. You are a great and mighty chief, and we can never fight again, for our braves are all dead. Then Waluna fell to the ground and buried her face in the sand. For a long time, she stayed there. Then a young chief, Tlaska by name, a son of the great chief, arose and went to her surprise and covered his robe over her shoulders. So the story continues, and Tlaska falls in love with Waluna, and he stands up to his father and tells them that they're no longer going to, you know, kill the Nez Perce. Tlaska tries to get Waluna to be his wife after 12 moons, but she feels her people are still mourning. Tlaska told her, come to him in 6 more moons. She did, and he told her that his father and others wanted to come and smoke the peace pipe with her father and other tribe members. They did, and the great Blackfoot chief asked the Nez Perce chief if his son could marry his daughter, and Waluna was happy. What?
Alicia's making peace pipe jokes.
Peace pipe jokes?
Sorry.
Waluna was happy. They invited other neighboring tribes, such as the Umatillas, the Yakimas, and the Kiosas. I haven't seen this one before. Capital KIYOUSES. And others to the wedding, and everything was magical. That night, the happy couple took a canoe out onto the lake. Dun, dun, dun. Members stood watching the beautiful couple gliding along on this the smooth water. Okay. Then the water starts getting rough, and the head of a huge serpent rose out of the water near the canoe. Its tail came out and smashed the canoe, sending Tlaska and Waluna far out into the water. They were never seen again.
What?
And both tribes took it as a sign that the Great Spirit was unhappy with them, and from then on, they would not go onto the lake.
I mean, how could you not think that? That would be the conclusion I would come to as well.
It seems like the most reasonable conclusion.
Yes.
So, yes, this giant serpent that the Native Americans saw is the Wallowa Lake monster.
Jennifer.
Nicknamed Big Wally.
I did not see any of that coming.
I know, right? I was telling you this loving story.
Not at all.
Boom!
I thought we were reaching the end to the happily ever after portion. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you just unleashed a Kraken.
Yeah.
I was sorely unprepared.
I'm sorry. I know. It was a lovely story until then. The scalping and all.
It was riveting, really.
Yeah. So the giant serpent is named Big Wally.
Okay.
That's what I'd name a giant serpent.
Yeah, Big Wally.
Big Wally.
This may have been the first sighting, but it was most definitely not the last sighting of Wally. In 1855, a prospector that was in his boat on the lake saw the serpent and said it was about 80 feet long.
Isn't it always a prospector? Can we just for a moment?
Well, yeah, because most of my stories are this and prospector that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, most of my stories start
out.
Those
guys are all up in it.
1800s. He described the monster as having a snake-like body, a large head like that of a hippopotamus, and a 10-foot neck, which was as thick as a man's body. And he said the creature bellowed like a cow. Yeah, it bellowed like a cow. And he, like, would not, like, release his name or anything. Like, the newspaper article came out with it. And
I'd be embarrassed, too.
Yeah, they were like...
The hippo face is what's getting me.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, no wonder why it mooed like a cow, right?
One of these days, I'm going to take all the water cryptids and make an art piece out of all the different types of things.
Yes, I would love that.
Will you buy that sweatshirt?
That'd be so good. That'd be amazing.
Oh, okay.
Future podcast merch.
Yes. Then in 1932, a couple spotted the creature while boating and had rowed over it several times, but it seemed unfazed.
Oh.
He was like, I appreciate your marriage. Yeah. Good job. There you go.
Move along. You're great. It's great. We love to see it. Yeah.
In the early 1940s, a young man was fishing along the shore of the lake and saw a creature that he described as a large snake-like monster with a head reminiscent of a classic Chinese dragon. The monster, which...
That doesn't sound hippo-esque.
Dragon, hippo. I know. Dragon, hippo. The monster, which appeared to be curious, swam in close to shore and in the direction of a few other fishermen before diving back below the surface. Some years later, Irene Wiggins, who owned Wallowa Lake Lodge for 35 years, was riding her horse along the east side of the lake and saw a creature swimming. She described the monster as having a large black body and a head that resembled, bah, 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 a hog's head, and having to weigh several hundred pounds.
Okay, so we got hog, dragon, and hippo.
Yep.
Maybe it's a three-headed monster, and that's what each head
looks like. Oh, I'm not done.
Oh, just kidding. More heads to come.
But wait, there's more. There's more. In the 1950s, the Wicklanders and Joe Tatone all saw two large unknown creatures chasing and eating fish near the head of the lake. One creature was estimated at being nearly 8 feet in length, while the second was estimated at around 17 feet in length. They all described both creatures' bodies as resembling that of a shark's, but with no dorsal fin, and the heads appeared to look like that of a bah, 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 buffalo's.
What?
But we're nearly 2 feet wide.
What a vibe.
I'm dang. Yeah.
I'm not done. What? I'm not done. There's more.
Oh, my gosh.
Then in 1982, a man and woman named Kirk Marks and Marjorie Kramer witnessed and estimated 50-foot unknown creature creating high waves near the northeastern side of the lake. The body was described as very dark in color and serpentine in shape.
Hell no.
Nope.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan serpentine. Of that.
So we might be wondering, like, what is this Wallowa Lake? How is it formed? You know, like, could it sustain a cryptid type life form?
50-foot serpentine animal?
Yeah. So according... Can you,
like, support that?
It's so much.
According to WallowaLake.net, Wallowa Lake is the largest of several glacier cirque lakes in the area. It was formed by repeated periods of glaciation that began some 3 million years ago and ended about 15,000 BC.
Glaciation.
So,
that's
yeah.
That's a good word.
That is a good word.
Big glaciers.
All right.
I don't doubt you.
Got up in there.
The word.
I like the word. Yeah, it's nice.
On statecryptids.blogspot.com, he talks about how there are ice worms that were in the North American glaciers.
Ice worms? They're black.
Yes, ice worms. It has like a formal word of name, but I could not pronounce it.
Okay. And they're also serpentine.
The science is saying.
So the author says that he believes that maybe the Wallowa Lake cryptid could be an ice worm that has morphed into a giant creature. It's hard for some to believe that a giant creature could be lurking in the lake because it's so cold and clear. Because it's so cold, the algae and stuff like isn't growing like normal. However, depending upon what the creature is and how it evolved, it may mostly dwell on the bottom in the mud, only coming up every once in a while to breathe.
Okay.
As we've learned somewhat recently, there are some crazy things that have been found in ice. I was scrolling through YouTube and came across a video titled Top 30 Strange and Creepy Things Found Frozen in Ice.
So he's like the Encino worm.
Yeah.
Okay. What
the Encino worm. Yep. I didn't watch it because I was tired and didn't want to dream about creepy stuff in ice.
I wouldn't either.
No. Like many of the lake cryptids I have covered in the past, most of the eyewitness accounts vary as to what the creature actually looked like.
Oh, yeah.
The variations of what the head looked like were buffalo, a hog, a Chinese dragon, and remember the other one?
Hippo.
Yep, hippopotamus. Most of the accounts...
I'm really hoping it's that one.
Yeah. Yes. Most of the accounts were fairly consistent when describing the body as black or dark.
Okay.
Mm, yeah.
And... snake-like.
Except that shark
except
one.
The shark one.
The shark one threw me off. I was yeah. like, what?
That one is a bit weird, but yeah. the other ones were still were pretty consistent about yeah. that. The length was estimated anywhere from 8 feet to 80 feet.
Yeah.
Several people
need to
said,
get their story straight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Several people said that the body was serpentine or snake-like. So maybe it or they... really are some giant mutated ace worms. No matter how you look at it, I don't want to meet Wally anytime soon. yeah. Whether he be a wormy, snake-like, hippopotamus-headed creature.
Which
it doesn't
that,
sound...
honestly, that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
And he may not even be mutated. I mean, what if that's just what he naturally looks at? How rude of us to say he's mutated.
That's true. And he could have just grown and grown and grown.
He could just be a magnificent ice worm.
Yeah. They're really gross. There was a picture of him. I saw it.
But they're really gross.
Yeah. they're black. I mean, they're black and...
they look wormy.
Like, and that's...
like a worm. Well, I picture worms like as, rubbery. Like, flesh-colored. And these uh-huh. worms were black.
Yeah.
But all the other vibes were worm? Or were they, like, bacteria?
What?
Bacteria. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you know how bacteria worms, like, under a microscope look uh-huh. different than, like, earthworms?
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I just saw a picture
look, like,
of it.
Caterpillars?
Yeah.
I just saw a picture of it on a, like, a ruler thing trying to show how long it was.
Oh, for, and, like, for realsies. Right. Like,
yeah.
Defrosted.
yeah.
Okay.
I'm defrosted Encino worm.
Okay. Yeah. and I didn't even touch on the giant crabs.
What?
Or lobsters that uh-oh, also
that's creepy
were said to have inhabited Wallowa Lake.
Good lord. No thanks. Guys, what I'm hearing is don't go there to swim.
Yeah, yeah. It's
or
cold. There's cryptids. There's, yeah.
It's cold
maybe
and
giant,
just
crabs.
Just
but yeah, that is my story.
Dang.
Where's my sources?
What a vibe.
Let me say sources real quick, and then we can
I
chat.
I really hope that he has a hippo head. That's all I'm saying.
I know. That would be fun. Wallowa Lake Monster on Cryptid Wiki. Wallowa Lake Monster spotted in 1885 on OregonGenealogy.com.
Nice.
Cryptid Profile, Big Wally, a.k.a. the Wallowa Lake Monster on Pine... BarrensInstitute.com and Cryptid State by State Wallowa Lake Creatures on statecryptids.blogspot.com.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I can't get over the buffalo head is really the one I can't get over. Because if he's worm-like, sorry to bring us back, but if he's worm-like and then his head is furry and shaggy like a buffalo... he can't be very streamlined.
Is it buffalo shaped or is it buffalo like full, like hairy?
Like full on hairy buffalo.
Shaped from what I.
So it's a naked buffalo shaped head?
If...
ew, this is getting grosser and grosser. I can't.
It's giving strong Chinese dragon vibes, like skinny body,
uh-huh.
dragon head.
Yeah. Big nostrils, so it could be hippo or dragon. Like, okay. All right.
Oh,
all
yeah.
right. They both have big round nostrils.
Yeah.
The shake.
Alicia's tweaking her. She's twerking her nose muscles.
Twerking her nose muscles.
Apparently, my brain doesn't know how to tell my nostrils to
do
that.
I like to nose twerk. It's okay. We'll teach you.
Yeah. We can train your brain.
I don't think so.
To nose twerk.
Like, my brain is like, what are you talking about? Like, I can't even.
Just to manifest.
I'm so sorry.
So remember at the beginning, I said that Alicia asked for this story. I was saying that I needed to pick a topic, and she's like, can you do a cryptid? You haven't done a cryptid for a long time.
It had been a while.
Yeah, and I started thinking about it, and yeah, I feel like the last few have been like hauntings or just history, the Napton House, and
Which I'm not going to complain about a good history story.
Yeah, that's more Vanessa. I'm not a history buff.
Sometimes I like hearing about slimy, maybe scaly, maybe eel-like creatures.
Yeah.
Or super hairy creatures.
We're trying to determine if the buffalo head was, like, hairy like a buffalo or just buffalo-shaped. Yeah,
that, because if it's a naked buffalo head
that's terrifying.
On an, a serpent-like body.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That has, like, Beetlejuice earthworm vibe. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Have you seen Beetlejuice
earthworm or Tremors. No. Oh, Tremors, gosh, but in the water.
Don't even get me started. See? Frozen earthworms. Yeah. I mean...
There I'm not going to lie. I can picture this as a sweatshirt.
I mean, for sure.
Kind of like the one with, like, the alien sitting on, or the alien and Bigfoot sitting on Nessie. That one. I love that. Yeah. I was like, I could totally see this being Nessie freaking rocks. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. Dang. So if you're an artist, get in touch with me.
We've got cryptid ideas.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thank you again for coming back to us for another week, and we will catch you next week. Bye.